Today is March 22nd, 2017, and this is episode number 403 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I would fit perfectly in a shipping container. Hashtag just saying. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit MacObserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@MacObserver.com.
Listeners, what I want to know is if we put Brian in a shipping container, where would you want to FedEx him to?
Yes, do tell, please. Yeah. If you have any ideas, you let me know.
Yeah, I mean, there's some amazing places that FedEx delivers on this planet. So I'm betting that we're going to get some amazing suggestions. Awesome places.
I want to go where the roos do roam.
Did you see me dancing?
I did, yes.
Yeah, I totally had the groove thing on.
Yes, I did through the studio wall.
Yeah.
The glass.
Through the glass. There you go. It's a wall, but it's transparent, hence made of glass.
Have you seen the interns recently?
No. I'm assuming they're sitting outside waiting for our Blue Apron delivery.
Ah, that could explain it. Speaking of Blue Apron, they are sponsoring us this week.
Sweet.
Yes, that is sweet. And let's see here. So Apple Incorporated. Used to be called Apple Computer.
You're really having a hard time with this transition, aren't you?
No, you know.
No, I mean with the topics.
No, I just did a lot of things on my mind recently about the old Apple. So we didn't get a media event this week, but we did get some updated products.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
We got the new wrist straps, much to John Keats' delight.
I'm so glad that there's something that made him happy.
Yeah, being angry and venting and spewing is what makes John happy. And so in this case, yeah, John's happy. Yeah, we'll be talking about that to get a plug in for another show. We'll be talking about that on Pop.0 on Thursday.
Are we going to put a link to Pop.0 in the show notes?
Yeah, we'll put them in the show notes. They're not going in the headlines yet. We're waiting until we actually have some shows in the can, so to speak. They'll be going up on iTunes later.
All right. So when we have links that we can share, we will.
Yeah, and I'll be tweeting a link to the live streaming recording for that. So
cool.
Yeah, you can follow me at TMO Brian. That's Brian with a Y. And I will have a link to the Hangouts so you can actually join us there and chime in and yell at us and ask questions and call us idiots if you want. That's what you call Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Yelling at me and John and calling us idiots?
Yeah, I do that all the time because you know what a jerk I am.
Yes, I do.
I'm all about just throwing temper tantrums and yelling at people and calling them names.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of Twitter, do you have a Twitter account?
I do. It's J Gamet.
J Gamet. Yes, of course. I think I knew that.
Yeah, it's where you see me. Ranting about everything all the time, and
being a jerk.
And just being a jerk, because that's how I am to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So speaking of being jerks.
Yes.
Apple introduced some new products and some not new products. And reason says that the mostly humdrum nature of these products that were launched via press release and or just by appearing or disappearing means that an expected media event in early April at this point should be a humdinger.
That seems like a plausible assumption. like Apple had so many things that they were bringing together in the same time frame that they
things that they've been saving up for the last few years.
Yeah, so they had to dump some things out before the media event because there just wouldn't be time at the media event.
Right, or even because, you know, and I'm hoping that that's the case.
Or maybe detract.
Reason says.
Yeah, go
or
ahead.
Or detract, yeah, or overshadow. Like, you know, if Apple is wanting new iPad Pro models to shine, they may not want that week's news cycle disrupted by the new cheap iPad that replaces the iPad Air 2. It's $329.
Right. Yep, that makes sense.
Which is, I mean, just it's very inexpensive for a full size iPad.
It is, and I just have to tell you though, I'm starting to think. Wow, excuse me, got me all choked up just thinking about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm starting to think that we may not see a new iPad refresh for the iPad Pro until this fall. And I don't have anything other than my Jedi instincts to base that on. But I'm hoping that we get a cool new thing in April. Are you playing with your toy airplane again?
I was like being stuck in neutral there or something. I hope that you're wrong, and I hope that you're right. We're gonna talk about an element of this a little bit deeper, more deeply even. But I think that you're wrong, but I also hope that you're wrong, and I think that we're gonna get two new iPad Pro models, a 12.9 inch or whatever it is, and 9.7. Not to mention this much rumored 10.5 inch device.
Yeah.
Which is still weird to me.
I'm still having a hard time figuring out where the 10.5 inch iPad fits into Apple's product plans.
You know what makes a lot more sense at this point? Seeing the new iPad that replaces the iPad Air 2, seeing that, what makes a lot more sense to me is that the 10.5 inch rumored iPad is going to be the replacement for the iPad Pro 9.7 inch. Actually is in keeping with the rumors that Apple was going to be releasing a new 9.7 inch iPad Pro.
So
what we saw yesterday.
Okay. So they'll have a 9.7 inch iPad. That will be what I will call the entry level iPad. And then they'll have a 10.5 inch and a 12.9 inch iPad Pro.
That makes so much more sense to me than having a 9.7 inch iPad Pro, a 10.5 inch mystery iPad, and then the larger iPad Pro. This makes a lot more sense to me. Having the new 9.7 inch iPad that replaced the iPad Air 2, mm-hmm. right? Having that, the 10.5 inch iPad Pro, and then the 12.9 inch iPad Pro, that makes a lot more sense to me. It makes a lot more sense to me, Jeff.
Yeah. All right. I can see this. It's
in keeping with the rumors, right? The rumors, the leaks that had the weight of probability behind them were adamant that Apple was releasing a new iPad Pro, a 10.5 inch iPad, and an iPad Pro, right? They were and to me, that said that those devices existed, but if the 9.7 inch iPad Pro that Apple was making is actually the iPad that was released yesterday, which is not equivalent to the Pro.
No, right? Not at all.
Not, right. It's not for sure, but it is the 9.7 inch form factor. That right. is in keeping with the rumors and is also in keeping with the reality that the leaks coming out of Apple supply chain usually have some basis in fact. It's just a matter of how they end up getting interpreted where there's error. There's some basis in fact. I like this version much better, man.
All right. So I am picking up a little bit of optimism in your voice.
Yeah, well, the optimism is simply because it was driving me nuts that I couldn't understand I couldn't wrap my head around the idea of the 9.7 inch iPad Pro and the 12.9 inch iPad Pro. And then on top of that, some sort of mysterious 10.5 inch version of the product. That didn't make any sense. So my optimism is simply because I hate not being able to find the missing information. So okay. It's more optimism for like the quirky Brian things than it is optimism for the product itself. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love iPad. I love my iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. I am on it a lot every day, and I'm excited about this 10.5 inch device. It's just, it didn't make any sense for me that Apple would have because if you remember, and I know that you do remember, but for our listeners, if you remember this 10.5 inch device that supposedly is being cooked up has the same physical footprint as the 9.7 inch iPad Pro that we know and love today. Mm-hmm. So that was this didn't make any sense. It did not make any sense.
Well, yeah, that does make more sense. The whole thing with that being the new smaller size iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
And the whole sizing thing and the 9.7 inch iPad sitting where it is, that fits well, at least for me, with my notion that the iPad mini is a dead product now. And it's just going to slowly phase out over the next year or so.
Well, okay. But because you're probably right, but I don't understand why Apple just wouldn't kill it. Here's what I hate. And this is the actual topic for our first segment.
Oh, good. We're finally getting to the topic.
we're finally getting to our topic. Apple has become way too comfortable for me in selling outdated technology. Mm-hmm. If Apple's going to kill the iPad mini, just kill the iPad mini. Get rid of the Mac Pro. If you're not going to update the Mac Pro, just get rid of it. Don't sell the old one. Apple went 18 months. If we get a new iPad Pro 12.9 inch next month, it will have been 19 months since it was introduced. That's too long. That's too long. Apple went 18 months between the iPad Air 2 and the iPad Pro. Right, it's been not quite 4 years since Mac Pro was introduced.
Wait, stop for a second.
Yes,
that's absolutely insane.
It's
not
insane.
Quite 4 years
for a computer,
and they still sell it for the same price that it came out at.
Isn't it a little bit cheaper now?
No. The Mac Pro price has never dropped.
What was it introduced at?
Well, hold on. Let's see.
By the way, still a gorgeous sight 4 years later.
Oh, yeah. It's still a beautiful piece of hardware, but...
$27.99. Wasn't it introduced at $29.99?
I don't think so.
Apple introduces Mac Pro. All right, 26 Mac Pro 2013. Here's the press release. Pricing and availability is.
It came out at $29.99 for the quad core, yeah, $39.99 for the 6 core. Yeah. All right.
Right. Currently, it's $27.99. So a whole $200 cheaper.
Okay, so now I'm at a loss. What are you complaining about? They lowered the price.
You're right. Well, I have been saying that they're selling it at brand new prices. I would posit that a $200 price drop is essentially still a brand new price. Four-year-old technology.
All right, but if you're going to be mostly pedantic, the price is lower.
The price is lower. It's just not lower enough. That product should be $9.99. Now they probably can't sell it at that, but the point is that it's just an outdated piece of crap. It's an outdated piece of crap.
But it is outdated.
For that money, it's a piece of crap.
No, it's overpriced.
It's a piece of crap, man.
No,
it's overpriced. It's...
See, now I'm being a butt.
Yeah, that's fine. No, you can be a butt all you want. It's a piece of crap. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Oh, it is embarrassing.
Embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It's out of date.
It was never designed. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful, but it was never designed for pros.
No,
it's not. It's no, not.
It wasn't. And they never should have called it a pro computer.
Well, they never should have stopped making a pro computer.
Yes,
they should have a blood pro computer for the pro market that Tim Cook claims to care so much about.
You know, okay, I have a pro.
Shut up. Show me the new Macs. Show me the hardware.
I have a Pro Mac story for you. Okay. So when I was cleaning out old stuff that I don't need to have just sitting around the other day, mm-hmm. I found my old gray G4 tower, you know, where's the acrylic box with the handle on the side and the side just lays down. Yeah, yeah. And so I was showing it to my girlfriend's son, and he was looking at it and he marveled at the design. He's like, this is really smart. Why doesn't Apple make something like this? And I had to tell him, well, I don't know. Apparently they think the little can is better, but yeah. Why can't Apple make really good pro computer designs like that anymore?
I don't know. You know, and this happened under Steve. Steve tried to take us to the cube. I love the cube.
Steve was all about the computer as an appliance. And he the was original all, right. Mac was an attempt at it. The cube was the next attempt at it. And I think the Mac Pro cylinder was yet another attempt at that.
It was, exactly. And of course, there was the next cube between that. But the next cube was truly a machine designed for professionals.
Yes.
But, I mean, so, you know, this isn't just some Steve, Tim Cook failing here, or even a Johnny Ive failing alone. Because Apple introduced the cube as a pro machine. The Mac Pro was still being sold when Apple did that. But it was aimed... Apple was saying that this is a machine that's good enough for pros, and the problem was that there wasn't enough performance for the dollars. It's gorgeous. It's still gorgeous. By the way, I have one, and Neil, the noted architect, is actually going to buy it for me.
Oh, no kidding!
Cool. Yeah, but it's my last collectible. My last collectible Mac.
I still have my 512K Mac.
Oh, that's good.
And it still works.
I don't have any of my grandfather Macs. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is this. Apple has grown too comfortable with selling old technology. We've got iPad Mini hasn't been updated and is now more expensive than the iPad, which is just weird.
Yeah, $70 more than the entry-level iPad.
That's weird. It's just weird. It's just weird. If you're going to kill it, kill it. Don't let it die like this. It's just weird. Why wouldn't they just pull it off the market when they did this change on Tuesday?
That's a really good question. You know, they used to do that. You remember the iPod Mini?
Mm-hmm.
When they were done with that, and it was the best-selling iPod at the time, they just stopped. It was like, okay, this is gone, and here's the iPod Nano.
Yep, here you go.
And people
like it or leave
freaked
it.
Out because they're like, oh my God, Apple's stopping their most successful iPod model. And
then everyone bought the Nano.
Yeah, and it's been a really great iPod model as it's evolved over the years. Well, it's been a really great iPod testbed. I think that's what they're doing with it a lot of the time, testing out features for other devices. But that's not the point. The point is Apple was not afraid back then to just stop making a product.
Right. If you're going to stop, if you're not going to update it, stop selling it. I would be happier with that than Apple continues. So to wit, Apple made a change with the iPhone SE. This was a device So the 4-inch device, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was released originally in March of 2016, and it had the guts of an iPhone 6S.
Yep.
Right? And it's done well for Apple, especially in emerging markets. I think it's done well in India. And then we had rumors that Apple was going to kill it because Tim Cook was interested in protecting the average selling price of iPhone. So by pulling its less expensive model off the market, people who were going to buy an iPhone anyway would buy the 7 or the 7 Plus or the 6S, which is still available to, I don't know, whatever. And then we also had rumors that Apple was going to update it. Right? So we had conflicting rumors. Apple's going to kill it. Apple's going to update it. And so Apple instead, with so far, has taken a path that is bizarrely in the middle.
Yeah. Well, should we call it refresh as opposed?
No, because it's not refreshed. Yeah, it has Apple. The only change in iPhone SE 2017 compared to iPhone SE 2016 is that instead of it being an insulting 16 gigs of storage and 64 gigs of storage, you now can choose between 32 and 128.
Yeah, so they doubled the memory, did not increase the prices.
Didn't increase the prices. Right. Doubled the memory, didn't increase the price, but didn't change anything else. Didn't add any other features from the 7.
Yeah, see, that's a weird move. I mean,
yes.
It's, and the fact that they upgraded or increased the storage and didn't increase the price and did nothing else tells me that they have no intention of refreshing the iPhone SE. They're just extending the sellable lifetime of the device by increasing the storage.
Yeah, meaning that they're going to be comfortable selling outdated technology. That's what's making me mad right now. So I agree with you. There's a couple of points that bear making.
Okay.
One is I am a big supporter of Apple continuing to sell previous models of iPhone at lower prices as a way of addressing a deeper market.
Sure.
Because that way it protects the value of Apple's newest iPhones while still allowing them to sell a great product to people who who have less money to spend on things like smartphones than otherwise. And so, you know, it's way better than introducing, like, you know, the iPhone 5C, for instance, was an attempt to go cheaper. I think it's better than Apple making new cheap phones. Plus, it also allows them to maximize their extraordinary supply chain, mm-hmm. right? And to continue by continuing to sell products for a longer period of time, they get a much bigger return on investment for setting up the supply chain to make those products in the first place.
Sure.
Right. So it's so many reasons why it makes a lot of sense. I am not against Apple keeping the original iPhone SE on the market, but I am against Apple selling the original iPhone SE with or without double the memory. Although thank goodness the 16 gig option is gone, because that's a stupid amount of storage to offer on a smartphone today. It's a terrible idea. No one's going to be happy with that. Right. So I'm glad to see that gone. But if Apple is going to continue, the only way I would be happy with Apple continuing to sell that original iPhone SE is if they were also selling some kind of new, you know, let's just call it the iPhone SE 2.
Sure.
With the A10 processor in it and with some other technology from the iPhone 7 line. That would make sense to me.
Or even keeping that thing, processor.
Doesn't it have the A9 on it?
Oh, no, that's right. It does. I was conflating it with the iPad mini, which is the A8, I believe.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, instead, I don't think we're going to get that iPhone SE 2 because I don't think, I think that if Apple was going to sell an iPhone SE 2 at a media event, if Apple was going to introduce that, they would have dropped the price on this one as well as updated the memory. Either that or kept the memory the same and dropped the price. But I think it would have come with the price drop one way or another.
Yeah. And we didn't see that.
And we didn't see that. Now, Apple could surprise us. Apple could introduce an iPhone SE 2 and at that point drop the price on the original iPhone SE. And mm-hmm. and if that's the case, anyone who bought the new one in between now and that media event is going to be pissed off. So whatever. That's just, you know, those are the chances you take whenever you buy a modern computing device. But I would withdraw my criticism of keeping this phone around if Apple did that. If Apple introduced a new iPhone SE 2 and dropped the price on this original one, that's fine with me. But keeping it and then continuing to sell it at this price, Apple is too comfortable selling old technology. Too comfortable. Apple has, I have a friend of mine who likes to put it this way. Apple has infinity resources for all practical effects. Apple has infinity resources. Apple could never spend the money that it's got in developing new products, could never, ever do it. So for all intents and purposes, Apple has infinity resources. And with infinity resources, Apple is just more and more complacent and comfortable selling old technology.
It is kind of odd. I mean, I'm glad that at least they finally got rid of their display. Because selling the Thunderbolt display the way they were, it was an embarrassment in the same way that the Mac Pro is right now.
It wouldn't have been an embarrassment at $199.
Yeah, but they didn't lower the price.
No, they didn't lower the price. And I have a better solution to Apple killing the Cinema display or Studio display or Thunderbolt display, whatever the crap it was called.
And that would be release a 4K display?
Yeah, or a 5K display.
Or a 5K, yeah.
Yeah, you know, something crazy like that. Well, I mean, because they make a 5K display, Jeff. I've got one in front of me. It's a year and a half old. Unupdated, I might add. More than a year and a half old. Unupdated. Hasn't been updated. They have.
Uh-oh.
Oops. Sorry about that. They haven't put out a new one. You're going to have to make an edit.
Gee, man, Italy. You know how I feel John about Q. edits.
I apologize. I used to have to make all the edits.
Yeah, but that was before I started handling the production side and I set rules.
It's true. Sorry about that. So anyway.
You know what? I'm going to let John Martellaro know what you did because he has caused more edits than most people would realize. And this is going to make him feel a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
No,
maybe.
It'll make him feel
so,
really good.
Here's a really cool thing. You out there, listener, you could buy the same iMac I have. Brand new. At the same price I paid for it.
And then you could be just like Brian. And then I can complain about editing you.
I bought mine a year and 4 months ago. It was introduced a year and a half ago. Hasn't been updated.
So you definitely bought your iMac at the right time.
I bought my iMac at the right time. You know, that's an interesting thing. We see that Apple's sales growth has stalled. How much of that stalling is because people don't want to buy old technology? I know that there are some people that do. Apple still sells millions of Macs every quarter.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people, I'm sure you're right, that are waiting to buy their new computer. You know what? I was in the same group. Because I could have used a new computer a year ago, and I waited.
Yeah, who was going to buy that old MacBook Pro? Who was going to buy that? I wasn't going to buy that. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy a new iMac today. I don't know what I'd do. If my iMac broke, I don't know what I'd do.
If your iMac broke, you'd get a used one to hold you over until you could get whatever the new thing is, whenever that comes out.
Yeah, probably.
because
I'm not going to pay the same money again.
Oh no, of course not.
You know, for the same device, it's crazy, man. It's just crazy. Apple has infinity resources,
and
Apple should be able to do the Apple should be able to iterate these products, these existing products. Apple should be able to iterate those every year, because we as consumers want new products every year. And while there are some people who maybe don't care, I got to back up, because okay. There's one thing. One of the defenses that I see of Apple is like, well, I'm not going to buy a new computer every year, so why does Apple need to update it every year? It's a myopic viewpoint that ignores the fact that when people want to replace their 4-year-old device or their 3-year-old device or even their 5-year-old device, they don't want to replace it with a device that's already 2 or 3 years old.
Right. Yeah. And not everyone's on the same buying cycle. So
not everybody has the same buying cycle. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not saying that Apple has to update their stuff every year so that I can get a new toy every year. That's not what I mean at all. I'm saying that when Apple, when we go to buy something, we don't want to buy something that is already more than a year old, technology that is already more than a year old. We don't want to do that. And I would say that Apple's stalled growth may well be proof in that pudding. The proof in that pudding.
There we go. Yeah, that's totally plausible.
And mostly pedantic.
Mostly. All right.
So, yeah, too comfortable, man. The iPhone SE, embarrassing. iPhone mini, iPad, what's it called? iPad mini, iPad embarrassing. Mini. Embarrassing, man. Get those things gone. Make them go away. Stop. If you're going to sell a product, update it every year. Do what it takes. Take some of those infinity resources and make it happen. Make us happy. Make us excited. Make us lust after these new products. Make us like, just, you know, gotta have the new one, man. Make us lust after it. Take some of that infinity resource. You'd still have infinity resources left over. And make everything that you make drool worthy and lustful every year. Do that thing.
Yeah.
And you'll still be the world's most profitable company.
I would like to see Apple doing more to excite us. But as I'm saying this, am I creating an artificial memory of the excitement that I had in the past for products?
No. Well,
is it still the same for me as it was back in the day? Because, you know, like the Touch Bar MacBook Pro, I know a lot of people looked at it and were like, I can't believe Apple just released that. I was excited for it.
Oh, that's good. No, that's great.
Yeah, and that's, I remember,
I understand why people weren't excited about some aspects of that thing.
Sure. It's, I mean, not everything that any company releases is the perfect product for everyone.
Yeah, in this case, though, it was a lot of pros that were, you know, not excited about the MacBook Pro, but, you know, that's just nitpicking.
Right. But there are a lot of pros that think it's a great computer.
Hey, can I make another plug for Pop.0?
Sure.
It's kind of related. John and I are going to go at the topic of Apple Watch bands.
Okay.
Because John hates the fact that Apple has this fashion thing going on. Because anyway, he doesn't understand the value, the role that fashion has played in the success of the Apple Watch. He completely discounts it because it's not important to him. So therefore, it's not important to anyone. And so, you know, we're going to be arguing about this. And this is sort of tied to this idea of Apple and innovating and iterating and taking some of those infinity resources and doing the right thing with them.
Okay. And you're going to let John know he's wrong.
I am, as a matter of fact. He's going to explain why I am wrong. He's going to explain why I'm wrong about a lot of things, most of which he's going to be wrong about, but that's beside the point. Anyway, that's going to be on this week's episode. And it will dovetail with some of what Jeff and I have been talking about here. So thank you for the additional plug.
Yeah, even knowing that I had to do an edit.
I'm tense about this, Jeff. I'm tense.
I hadn't picked up on that.
I'm tense. You know what makes me a little bit less tense?
I bet it's when your tummy's full and you're happy.
It is. It's when I actually, and it's cooking. Cooking with Blue Apron is something that truly makes me happy. I listen, these folks are sponsoring us. So, you know, we're going to get to the specifics about that. But this weekend I made pork tacos with marinated cabbage and with a pineapple salsa.
That sounds really good. I never made a pineapple.
It was really, really good. It was really, really good. Now I was cooking for myself. I'm on the when I get orders from Blue Apron, I get the two meals for 3 days.
Right. So that would be six meals.
Thank you. Six meals. Right. Yeah, yeah. So when I'm cooking, you know, I tend to end up having to have leftovers, and the leftovers were good. And the food itself was good. The meat was tasty. The ingredients were so fresh. They have been like the best sponsors that we could hope for. I mean, I love this company. I love what they do. And I want our listeners to take advantage of what they're offering.
I think that sounds like a great thing. And one of the things that I like is that they come up with all these recipes that I wouldn't have thought of otherwise. So I get to try new things.
Yeah, absolutely. And likewise, I'm a weird mix of, I love new things, but I don't necessarily want to take the initiative to do them. That's weird, and I get that, and I totally accept how weird I am.
That's all right, because you found a way to let someone else do that for you for less than $10 a meal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these recipes come to me; they're easy to put together
with fresh ingredients.
Fresh ingredients, the cards that they send with the recipe and the instructions are all excellent. I learned about cooking. I learned some techniques, and I'm a pretty good cook. I just haven't had a big repertoire, but my repertoire has been expanding thanks to Blue Apron, and the meals are always delicious.
That's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
Food fresh, delivered right to your door, and you get to make it yourself.
Yep.
So how do our listeners get to take advantage of this, Brian?
They're going to go to blueapron.com/ACM.
Okay. And then what happens?
They're going to get three meals on their first order for free.
Nice.
It is super nice.
You know what would make that even better is if they didn't have any shipping charges.
Well, guess what?
What?
No shipping.
No way.
Yep, comes right to your door, man.
Sweet.
And it comes right to your door. It's packed really well. It's packed with a really, really good ice blocks. These big ice blocks that are like just going to be perfect for camping. And you know, it's what they're doing is just really terrific. Yeah, you ought to check it out. It's blueapron.com/ACM. Get three meals on your first order for free.
That's
for listening to us.
That is awesome. Thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's good. It's been fantastic. To take me out of rant mode.
All right.
Take me to a happy place.
Jim. Well then why don't we talk about something that I really like? Because last week you talked about something you really like.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I like, wait, hold on. Is this going to be one of those things where it's not about me?
Yep. I know. This takes you out of your comfort zone.
I'm going to try to wrap my head around this. I'm going to do my best, so let's go ahead and try.
Okay, but we can, here's how we'll make it about you. You know how you enjoy when something makes me happy?
Yes.
There we go. See, just made it about you.
Still all about me? That's fantastic. All right, good.
So good. I found these, okay, everyone knows that I have a Lego fetish. I mean, I'm really into Lego.
No, everybody knows. All of the people know about your Lego fetish.
I'm all about Lego. So anyhow, there's this company called Brixo, and it's B-R-I-X-O, Brixo. And they're making...
I see what they did there.
Uh-huh. Very clever. Yep. And they have designed these Lego-compatible bricks that can conduct electricity. And some of them have like light sensors and motion sensors and sound sensors and proximity sensors built in to, you know, to a brick. And then other bricks, they have like motors in them. And because the bricks themselves can conduct electricity, you can use them by themselves or with the Lego bricks you already have. And you can make, things that are automated, and, you know, like little robots or things that perform something under their own power, and you don't have to run any wires because the bricks themselves conduct the electricity. So they're chrome bricks.
It just seems like a bad idea, though.
That's because
hey, Johnny,
you want to play stuff like this?
Do you want to play with some electrified toys? Here you go.
Well, I can see when you put it that way that some people would have a problem with it. But don't worry, the amperage is low enough that it's not going to hurt you. And
the question is whether or not you're going to feel any kind of shock. And I'm assuming not because they're selling this.
Yeah, it's no, you don't feel a shock. And I've played with
but other how is that products. Possible?
It's because you have to complete a circuit.
Okay, great. So you complete a circuit with the fingers. And you're holding the device that is a completed circuit. Why wouldn't you get a shock? Are you not supposed to actually hold these things? Are you only supposed to use them on a board?
Well, you can build a Lego model that isn't on a platform. So, no, you can hold these things. And I mean, I've watched videos of people holding models built completely out of Brixo bricks. And they're lighting up and doing stuff. And the people aren't getting shocked at all.
By the way, electrical engineers out there, you are welcome to laugh at me and call me an idiot and tell me that I'm a noob and all that stuff because it's all true.
Yeah, and I will continue to be really excited about stuff like this because it's really cool. I love it because what I see is something where I can now incorporate these new bricks into something else that I'm designing and make my Lego creations do something more than they could before. Now, granted, I can do a lot of stuff with Lego Mindstorms and just all the other things that Lego's created. And I mean, they even have bricks. Lego has their own bricks where they're like self-contained with a light and a switch in them. And it's not a big deal to wire stuff in with Lego anyhow, but having something where you don't have to do any wiring and you can just put the bricks together and have the power and everything, it's really cool.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's really cool. I love this stuff too. I love right now at CES, for instance, there were all kinds of robots that are aimed at kids. Now I realize that kids aren't the only folks that play with Legos, but there's Lego all kinds bricks. Of educational Lego bricks. Sorry.
That's all right. What I'm doing is, since you're mostly pedantic, I figured you'd want to know.
And, absolutely.
And the listeners that are into Lego and heard you say Legos, they had that moment where they're all like, oh no.
Yeah, you know, though, at some point, here's the thing. At some point, this is going to be Xeroxed. It is. You're going to be able to play with Legos, and it's going to be accepted.
It'll be accepted in the United States. Well, it already is accepted in the United States, but the rest of the world is pretty staunch.
That doesn't make it correct. That doesn't make it correct, sir.
Anyhow, Lego bricks. And I'm just picturing kids getting to play with this stuff at home. And at school.
I love this stuff. I love this stuff, man. I love these things that let kids make stuff in the real world that is drool worthy stuff that we would have gone nuts over when we were kids.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, I was doing stuff as a kid where I would take like a 9-volt battery and tape and wires and little light bulbs. And I would tape batteries and hand attach wires to the ends of them so that I could run light bulbs and illuminate.
Did you ever make a motor?
I actually had a Lego motor.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I built all kinds of stuff with that. But I would also take other little motors that I'd find and figure out how to work those into Lego stuff. And, you know, when you realize that you can make a little Lego spaceship that has lights inside just by taping your own batteries and bulbs inside them, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing.
For sure.
And now you can do this and you can build complex circuits without ever having to deal with wires. You can just put the pieces together, and if it doesn't work, you pop something apart, put something else in, and you can experiment really quickly and learn so much about electricity and motors and sensors and robotics just by sticking some bricks together. I just love this thing.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I'm glad you found this. I know how excited you are about it. And I love... Again, I just got to emphasize this. There are so many products out right now where young people or the young at heart can make things, make stuff. You can make stuff. And I love it.
I love it, too. So, listeners, when you find really cool Lego-related stuff like this, let me know.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay to be an enabler. Man, yeah, well, how meta was that for enabling?
Pretty meta.
Yeah,
fairly. Somewhat. It was somewhat meta. It really, it was kind. It was vaguely. It was vaguely meta. But I'm mostly pedantic.
Holy crap! I mean, hey, are you feeling better now?
No, I'm still. Let me get all pissy again.
Well, let me just toss one more thing out there. Lego tape.
Oh yeah, that was another thing you found. Yeah.
My Lego tape's on order.
How much did you get?
I ordered 2 rolls.
How many feet is that? Can't be that much.
Yeah, it's each roll I think is like 11 feet long. So. We'll call it 20 feet total. Just
so you could definitely spell out like I don't know, like 6-inch high letters. You could spell out Brian is awesome.
I think I'd have enough tape to spell out Brian is ass. But that's a start, and then we could get more rolls.
Oh, well played. Well played. Okay, I have a question. I know you wrote up the Clips app.
Yes.
So my question is, because I didn't bother reading the piece, because we all know that we don't have time to prep for the show.
No.
So what is, I understood like the Clips app, it takes clips. What's the difference between Clips and say the camera app or iMovie or both?
Okay. So, let's look at this compared to iMovie, because that's what most people are going to equate this to. And iMovie is a full video editing application. So like, take multiple clips from multiple sources, throw in the extra audio, and you know, like make a movie. And Clips is designed to cater specifically to the videos that you would make for social networking sites.
You mean specifically Instagram or the now defunct Vine or...
Right. So, you know, a short little video you want to put up on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. Yes, exactly. Those sorts of sites. And so it's an app that makes it easy for you to capture the video that is ultimately destined for a social network site. And it gives you filters and other tools that are designed specifically for what people want to do with their video content on social networking sites. So you can capture a short video, apply a filter to it so it has some special effect. Maybe you take people that are skateboarding and apply an effect that makes it look like they're cartoon characters. You can add
captions. Are they bringing anything new to the mix?
What they're bringing new to the mix is it looks like, and keep in mind, we don't actually have the app yet. We don't have it till iOS 10.3 ships. And it looks to me like what they're bringing to the table is an interface that brings all of these elements together, you know, the stickers, the filters, adding text and doing other effects in a way that's really easy to use and then integrates tightly with multiple sharing services. So so instead of having to use different apps depending on what type of service you want to send your video to, you take the one app, do everything there, and when you say send it to this site, it formats it correctly for that site and creates your post for you at the same time. And it also has integration with your address book and with the Photos app. And so what it's doing with the Photos app is it's using the facial recognition that we already have in Photos and applying it to your videos. So it can figure out who you've taken or who's in your videos. And then it can say, hey, you know, Brian and Dave are both in the video you just took, Jeff. Would you like to send a copy of the video to each of them through messages?
Oh, that's interesting. So, I mean, like, I know the one of our... It was an observation that you made when we were talking in the pre-show. Mm-hmm. That Clips was Apple finally throwing in the towel on social media.
It kind of feels that way to me.
But what you just said just then is going to make me push back on that idea.
Okay.
Because Apple has been making iMessage more and more of a social media platform. It's not entirely a social media platform, and it is much more of a cross between SMS and what social media has become. Mm-hmm. But if Apple is making video sharing on iMessage simple and easy, that is further making iMessage more of a social media platform.
In a manner of speaking, I think like Apple's really good at one-to-one social as opposed to one-to-many social.
Well, I don't know, man. The group chats and iMessage have been very useful.
Yes.
I've got multiple going, not just the insane rantamatronic rooms that John Keats put together, but some private conversations between friends with other friends too.
Okay, so this is the one place where Apple has been able to make that work. But it's still more of a private thing, and that's okay. But yes, that's the place where Apple's making it work. But if you look at everything else they've tried in the social media space, it has been a failure.
Yeah. So is this Apple giving up on social media, or is this Apple continuing to make its oblique end run around social media with iMessage?
Well, okay, there's the oblique end run around social media, but iMessage is not something that's going to supplant social media, because it is not something that's geared towards the one-to-many in the way that social media services are. There's no way that messages can compete with Facebook or Twitter. And I don't think Apple wants to compete with those services anymore.
But it can compete with WhatsApp and Line.
Sure.
And to a lesser extent, Snapchat, especially with Clips.
Sure. Sure. And so the way I see it is Apple has figured out where the places where they can actually have some level of success, and that's what they're focusing on. And for everything else, they can put themselves as sort of like they're piggybacking onto the other social networks. So they can remain relevant to the other social networks, focus on the few things that they can get right, and work those things into messages. But messages will never be a true social networking platform. And I think Apple's okay.
I don't know that that's the case. Well, it does compete, and there are certainly things that Line. I don't use WhatsApp, but I do use Line a lot with one of my gamer groups. Mm-hmm. And there are things that Line does better. There are things that Snapchat does better and differently. But there are I would say that in many ways and for many conversations, iMessage is in fact going toe-to-toe with those kinds of services. And that includes Facebook Messenger.
Okay. Now, you picked a element of Facebook Messenger. And sure.
Yeah, but Facebook is separated out. The reason why I did that is because Facebook is separate. It's just trying to separate that out as a standalone thing too.
Yes. And so, yeah, Facebook Messenger, absolutely. Apple's Messages is totally competing with that. But the overall social networking space, which to me, a key element of the social networking space overall is people find you. So you don't have to proactively go out and invite people in to your circle. They can come and find your circle. Messages is not about people finding you. It's about
That's true.
You creating those unique connections.
That's a good point.
And that's a place that I don't think Apple's interested in going anymore. I mean, they've tried more than once, and they have failed. And I think somewhere there's the bloodied corpse of Ping still stapled to a wall on the Apple campus as a reminder.
Yeah, that is also true. A large part of what we're talking about is that Apple's entire DNA is about the walled garden, you know, whole widget curated thing. And that's the problem with I'm going to backtrack on myself, because Ping would have been a terrific success, in my opinion, if Apple had worked out a deal with Facebook ahead of time.
Sure. Ping would have had a chance.
Yeah, Ping, well, okay, my bias there is I thought that Ping was awesome.
Yeah, Ping, I think, was a great concept for a social network, and Apple couldn't figure out how to leverage it into something that people really wanted to use.
Well, yes and no. Apple did figure that out at first, and that was Facebook integration. And the problem there is that Apple, in its usual arrogant approach, didn't bother talking to Facebook about that ahead of time. And yeah, Mark Zuckerberg said, nah, you know, if you want to tie in something like this, that's this big into Facebook and use our API, you gotta pay up for that privilege. And Apple refused to pay. This is the story that eventually came out. Apple refused mm-hmm. to pay, and it was blocked from using that API for Ping. And Ping was essentially stillborn. And I don't think it would have been stillborn if it had had that Facebook integration.
I think that you're right. And without that Facebook integration, Apple couldn't figure out how to really push Ping into being a relevant social network.
Without Facebook integration.
That's what I tried to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was actually clarifying because I was being a terrible girlfriend and not listening.
Man, what is up with you?
You know, it's just how I roll today.
Yeah, well, I know. That's just how you roll today. And this is even after I tried to lift your spirits. And man, anyhow, we're about out of time.
We are in fact out of time. So why don't you take us out? Because I believe you have some editing to do.
Yes. Yes, I do. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.